You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense, stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.AB.ca.
Former NHLer, analyst for the Carolina Hurricanes, Shane Willis, joins us once again. Shane, welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, I appreciate it. You know, the Hurricanes are one of, like, there's a lot of teams, Edmonton won right now, that, you know, every year they seem to start slow. And, you know, the Hurricanes are just kind of steady all the time. They're 11-5. One of the few teams that isn't relying on overtime loser points to pad their numbers. They do have, I think, two overtime wins, but no losses. They're 11-5 and kind of steady she goes, despite having some injuries in goal.
Major injury issues to start the year for the Carolina Hurricanes. The adversity they faced, not only with Kochetkov out at the start of the year, but you have to look at the back end. Your number one defenseman, Jacob Slavin, still is not back in the lineup. Keandre Miller misses time. Shane Gostisbehere misses time. Jalen Chatfield is now out with an injury. And this team continues to consistently put out the effort to win hockey games. I think Taylor Hall said it best the other day after practice. He said, we just work. And they just come to work every single night. And as you mentioned, nothing changes. And head coach Rod Brendamore has instilled that in this team, the leadership from Staal, Martinook, all the way through Sebastian Aho. The consistent work ethic that this team puts out is so impressive on a nightly basis.
So what's the update status on Jacob Slavin and Jalen Chatfield? How long are they out for?
Jacob Slavin is still one of those unknowns. He is back working out, training, trying to prepare and get in a position where he gets back on the ice. Jalen Chatfield did skate by himself yesterday. So, again, going through, which we call the upper body, but the process we all know that he's going through right now to see when he can get back on the ice. I would say Jalen Chatfield is probably, 4 to 7 days still away. And the hard one with Jacob Slavin is still the unknown factor there.
Okay, so, and like Slavin, maybe the best pure defensive defenseman in the NHL, and you take him out of the lineup, that's a pretty big blow. Who has stepped up on the defensive side, or has it been more collectively as a unit?
It's been collectively, but the one guy that jumps off the page to me is Sean Walker. And Sean Walker's minutes on the ice from last year to this year has increased by over 7 minutes a game. He's scoring goals. He has 4 goals from the blue line. But he has been so steady defensively for Tim Gleason on the back end and what he's done. And then I also have to tip the cap to another guy that the Hurricanes went out this summer and signed in Mike Riley. And Mike Riley, inside the locker room, just a great character guy. And it's funny when you go around to the other cities where Mike Riley has spent some time in his career, players are still there saying, hey, how's Mike Riley? He's such a great guy. And I'm like, he's playing dominant. How does he get away from all these teams to end up with us on a free agent deal this summer after being, you know, on the New York Islanders? He's been so steady as well, stepping in the lineup. And then the development of the young players, when you talk about what you're going to need when you face injuries like this, you look at a person like Joel Nystrom, and then unfortunately we lose Charles Alexis Legault in Toronto. When you talk about, I heard you talking about Jack Hughes coming on to a freak injury where his hand hits a player's skate and cuts it, and he's out 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, well, that is wild, actually. The team parties, man, unfortunately for Jack Hughes at a team dinner, cuts his hand at the dinner, and now he's out for who knows how long. You mentioned Taylor Hall. He got to, you know, he went to Carolina, then he signed the extension. When you look at the, how has Nikolai Ehlers fit in? I know it took him a while to get a goal, but how has he played overall?
He's playing really, really well. And Nikolai Ehlers coming in, I think everyone from Winnipeg and more in the Western Division knows how much this guy demands the puck on his stick and how well he possesses it. So he started online with Aho and Jarvis for the first two games. Again, there's always a ton of pressure coming into a new team, a new system. But now that you got that first goal, Ron has switched up the lines a little bit. He's now playing with Logan Stankoven and Jackson Blake, two real young players. And I think he's kind of thriving on that line, being the leader and the playmaker for those two young stars. And I just love the way he plays because he's never given that puck up. He always wants it on a stick. He holds on to it. Hurricanes have increased their rush chances this year and rush goals, I think, to a big part because of Nikolaj Ehlers, who has 7 assists on the year for them.
You look at Rod Brind'Amour, and without Slavin, when you look at how he would match up against McDavid, and let's assume McDavid and Draisaitl are on their own line. I'm assuming Jordan Staal is the forward line out there. Is it going to be the Walker-Gostis pair, or is it going to be the Miller pairing against McDavid?
That's a great question, because I was speaking with Hannah Yates, who's on FanDuel Sports with me, as we looked ahead to tomorrow's game against the Oilers. And every single year, we talk about the Slavin-McDavid matchup. And then you have to flip to, okay, where do you go now? Because you're going to need a defensive pairing to step up. That's always the main focus of Rod Brind'Amour. He does get a better forward matchup when he's here at home, which I think, you know, you look at Staal, but does he go with Aho as strong as they play defensively with Seth Jarvis and try and match the speed there? I think he could go. He's got Shane Gostis there playing with Alex Nikishin right now, so you have the youngster there. I'm not sure you're going to throw him into the fire. I could see maybe going to Keandre Miller, Sean Walker pairing to try and shut that down. Keandre Miller, with his range and the ability to skate, I think has an advantage, and I think has also found a very nice fit in the system for Rod Brind'Amour here since coming from New York.
Shane Willis joins us, analyst for the Carolina Hurricanes. They, of course, will host the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow. Aho's got 16 points. Seth Jarvis, 10 goals to start the season. He's obviously off to his best goal-scoring start of the year. You mentioned Jackson Blake, you know, that he had a pretty good introduction to the postseason last year, and he's picked up where he's left off. Him and Stankoven, both of those guys kind of rookie players who were pretty decent, you know, impact guys. As a duo with Ehlers, like what do you think the ceiling is for a guy like Blake?
I love what he's doing this year, and I think every time coming into your sophomore year, everyone wonders, is he going to have the slump? Well, Jackson Blake looks more confident than he ever has. I, again, like the way he's possessing the puck. As a rookie, you try and make some high-percentage plays that maybe aren't there. I think he's being a lot smarter with the puck. He's showing dynamic playmaking ability. And I think a key factor when you talk about chemistry, he and Logan Stankoven, still the young guys on the team, are roommates on the road, right? The vets are in their own rooms. These two guys, still roommates, almost becoming a lot like brothers, the chemistry they have off the ice with their usefulness. The other big key of that coming in, everyone questioned the move of Logan Stankoven to center by Rod Brind'Amour, right? Was he going to be able to be your number two center? But with Jackson Blake and Ehlers on the other side, the veteran presence there, he has fit perfectly. He continues to work daily with, I'll argue, one of the best centermen that's ever played the game in Rod Brind'Amour to get better and better at it. His numbers are in a good place. But Logan Stankoven has thrived in the center ice position. And when you see this line come over the boards, really all four lines for Rod Brind'Amour, the question of opposing teams is, which one do we stop? Like, which one do we focus on tonight? And the Hurricanes kind of come at you at waves in their forechecking, but the Stankoven-Blake-Ehlers line has been really, really good for Rod Brind'Amour and this team. You know, playing Vancouver tonight at home before the Oilers tomorrow, we'll look to bounce back after a tough loss against the Washington Capitals.
Overall, kind of what's the update? Like, the goalies in Carolina, it's like Freddie Anderson, when he's healthy, Shane, he's really good. Unfortunately, you know, health has been a little bit of an issue for him at times in his career. I think there's no way to sugarcoat that. They don't want to overplay him. Right? Like, they've got to find a way to manage his game so he can be eligible for you in the playoffs.
Without a doubt, he's been, you know, struck with the injury bug a lot through his career. Coming into training camp this year, that's one thing we heard from Freddie, was this is the best he's felt his entire career when it comes to his health. I love the energy he showed against the Caps, almost starting up the big, which was almost a line ball because Logan Thompson came all the way to center ice to yell at Freddie when the scrum was going on. He's been very, very good. You know, he sits at 5-4. Pyotr Kochetkov is now healthy. So you're back to the 1-2 punch where they're really alternating. And then the young / older guy, Brandon Bussey, has been very, very good. The Hurricanes have 3 goalies here right now. Mm-hmm. And does Brandon Bussey get back in the net again to give, you know, a guy like Freddie even a couple more days off? Maybe. It kind of just depends, I think, on the week, the workload as the team looks ahead, and where they can actually throw Brandon Bussey in because they have full confidence in him. And all of a sudden, Freddie Anderson gets 2 more days off. And what they've done with the 3 guys, if Freddie's not going to play, he doesn't even back up. like Fyodor Kochetkov would be the backup, and Freddie would get that extra time off. So they have a little bit of a luxury right now. The question will be is, as we know, goalies always want to play, and they got to get into a rhythm. Does it get back to the 1-2 with Anderson and Kochetkov for a very long period of time? The Hurricanes playing their first back-to-back here tonight and tomorrow, Vancouver-Edmonton, do not have another back-to-back until 1st of December. So this is the first heavy load. Every other day, every couple of days, they've been able to manage by having a little bit of a strong rotation going with Freddie Anderson.
So is Kochetkov going to play tomorrow for the Canes?
Kochetkov will start tonight. I believe Freddie Anderson will get the start tomorrow.
Okay, so it'll be Freddie Anderson tomorrow. So the order's a little bit of a break in a way, maybe. They're playing Carolina in the second half of a back-to-back. We'll see if that benefits them or not, but it will be Edmonton's third game in four nights. I don't know if rest really is that big of an issue or not. Now, you mentioned, Brandon and Bussy, like, Kochetkov's got the best numbers by far of the threes. Obviously, only played, started two games, but how long are they going to keep the three goalies there? Is this like a long-term thing, or is this just giving Kochetkov, and so they have three goalies in practice and can rotate them around? And as you mentioned, if Anderson isn't starting, then he's not even backing up. What's the long-term plan for Gore?
It's really hard to say. We had Paul Schoenfeld, the goaltending coach, on our podcast the other day, and, real difficult position for him, right? Because he's trying to work with a guy who's not practicing with the team, but get to him enough shots that, hey, you're probably going to go in one of these games and keeping that guy ready. I think the concern is Brandon Bussy, who is huge and has the size and ability that we've seen, if they throw him on waivers, do they lose him? Right, they don't want that to really happen. So I think they're kind of slow playing a little bit to see, does someone call us and maybe offer us something for that player? Or, I think the thing is trying to manage it without losing a great player for nothing when you talk about waivers.
Thanks so much for the rundown, man. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight and tomorrow, Shane.
I appreciate having on. We'll talk to you soon.